Star Walker Studios presents Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast.
Hello, fellow gamer. Welcome to episode 236 of Game Master's Journey. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. On this show, we discuss the craft and the art of game mastering. I've been running RPGs for over 26 years now, and I produce this show in the hopes that you can benefit from my experience, my triumphs, and my mistakes. Today, I'm bringing you the next installment of the actual play of my D&D campaign, Hinterlands of Alandria. In this episode, Manny's character, Larissa, the tiefling bard, gets up to some shenanigans while the rest of the village of Dianara's Rest sleeps. If you're a new listener of the show and you'd like to start at the beginning of this story, you can head to episode 184, which was the first behind-the-screen episode in which I give an introduction to the world of Primordia. The first prelude was episode 195. I did a prelude with each of the players where we fleshed out their character a bit. And the first episode with the whole party together as a group was episode 204, session 1, Into the Wilds. So Manny again is playing Larissa, the tiefling College of Glamour bard with the courtier background. College of Glamour comes from Xanathar's Guide, and the courtier background comes from the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide. Larissa is currently 6th level, and I think that's everything you need to know for tonight's session. So without further ado, let's move into Primordia and get back to our adventure. Man, I gotta say, yours is either gonna be the easiest or the hardest vignette. Yeah, dude, you are number one player for like generating your own content. Like, like I just show up ready, you know, for anything, and I know that you will have plenty of stuff to keep us all busy. That's great. I love it.
Yeah. So I was like, I was looking when you asked me what we could potentially do.
Yeah.
I was like, there is so much.
I know, right?
there is so much material that we haven't been able to touch on because, you know, we have a much larger, story to keep track of. So yeah. I really, really do enjoy these vignettes because it kind of gives us this time to like touch on the little things that, you know, get overlooked while we focus on the main quest.
Yeah. And probably something I should tell everybody is I hope as the campaign goes on that this will become more player initiated or player directed. Like you just come to me and say, Lex, I want to do a vignette. And I just kind of leave it up to you guys because it seems like some of the players don't so much want to do them or know what to do with them. And then some of you have all kinds of stuff you want to do. So,
yeah,
I feel like when I kind of bug you guys to do it, it makes it seem like you have to do it. And it's an optional thing for those of you that want to do it. So,
yeah, I definitely do enjoy them. And this vignette actually is, a multi-layered setup.
Uh-oh.
Because if you were,
I'm set up, you guys heard it. I've been set up.
If you went on the forum and then I saw the fireside chat thing that you had there for, you know, things that happen in town. So since we arrive at town town, I made a post to Fear and I asked her if she could make me one of her meals.
I saw that.
So yeah, I said that I was going to have a lunch with Logan, but cool. Dun 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 lies. It isn't a lunch with Logan. I feel kind of bad about it, but.
So what do you want the meal for, or is it going to be a surprise?
It's a meal. It's the meal I'm going to use it to entrance Miguel. Because I think that's the focus of our vignette.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Unless we decided on something differently.
No, it's whatever you want to do. You gave me three ideas, basically three NPCs you might want to interact with. So I gave some thought to all of that, so I think I'm ready. I'm prepared to improvise.
Awesome. I'm ready if you are.
Yeah. So this is taking place kind of that evening, and night. So. What do you want to do?
I have a question about Dahlia's abilities and whether I know what she's capable of.
Oh, okay. That's something I've been meaning to
do some more with.
Right now, I'm basically, I think you asked me and I gave you a very cryptic answer. But I'm basically right now I'm using the pixie.
Okay.
For kind of what she can do, because I mean, I think of her as a sprite, but looking at like what they get, I thought the pixie fit better.
Yeah.
As far as like the spells they get and stuff. But at some point I do want to kind of customize her a bit.
Cool.
So that would definitely be something you could have input in. You know, if you look at the pixie and you see, I don't know, like maybe, oh, I don't think she really needs polymorph, and maybe you have an idea for a different spell or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
cause I don't know anything about the Spiderwick books that this can, and I don't know if you do or you just found the image, but I don't know
I found those, by chance. I was just looking at Pixie, you know, pictures of pixies, and then there was a whole collage of them, but they weren't D&D. They were, you know, Spiderwick, and I thought, you know, they are still fantasy enough and really well done that I'd wanted to use that in some way for Dahlia.
Yeah, and kind of my idea of fairy, and I don't think this is super original, but is that there are like just millions of kinds of fairies. Like,
yeah.
So the more sources we can bring in, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So I guess I wanted to start by, approaching Miguel, wherever we have him held. I don't think we've established,
he's in the stockade actually.
Oh, in the stockade.
Yeah. He's all right. Like,
well, is he going to spend the night there? Is that the thing?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the, he's going to be there until they take him to the witch is
do we idea. Know? Do we know if he is, under constant guard? I'm sure he is.
I don't think he really is under a guard per se.
Okay.
Because I mean, the village isn't that big, so he's kind of visible. So, I mean, someone would likely see if he tried to escape, unless it was like the middle of the night. But I don't think they actually have a guard on him.
Okay, so that would be, you know, I either want to make it very complicated or or very simple.
Okay.
I either just sit in front of him and talk to him while he has no choice but to listen, or I break him out of the stockade and then go off into the forest somewhere and have a chat. I want to talk to Dahlia and see what her input is.
Okay. Well, you could probably get him released into your custody for a time, if you wanted him out of the stockade for some reason.
Yes, and I just don't want them to say anything about it. So if I have to make rolls, I'll do that.
Okay.
I don't want them to report that Larissa at, you know, midnight has released, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and as far as Dahlia, I mean, looking at the pixie, they have superior invisibility, which, I mean, she definitely has that because I've had her use it.
Yeah.
But all the rest of this is kind of in the air. I like the magic resistance. I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. Spells, druid craft, confusion, dancing lights, detect evil and good, detect thoughts, dispel magic, entangle, fly, phantasmal force, polymorph, and sleep. So pixies have a lot of magic.
They do.
So probably what I would do to like customize this is I might swap out some of those spells.
Sure.
For ones that seem more, I don't know, fitting. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of like, I mean, I'm picturing her as like your girlfriend from college kind of thing.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I don't really have a lot to go on so far.
Yeah, I think that we are used to getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. The two of us. So I think just skipping the whole asking anybody and ask her if she can polymorph him into some sort of like small creature that I can just carry with me.
Okay.
And try to do this all the while we are not seen. So I can just take off out of town.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if you did that late enough at night, you'd have a pretty good chance that no one would notice he was gone.
Yeah. So I'm gonna ask Dahlia to do that for me, to polymorph him into like a puppy.
Okay.
And then I would just take him with me.
Okay. Sure. So she turns him into a puppy and his little paws and head slide out, no problem. Yeah. From the stockade.
I'm just gonna put him in my bundle, even inside of like, I assume I have like a picnic basket.
Sure.
If I can get one where fear would have put all the food in.
Okay.
For me. And then I just go off in the night to like the similar spot, if I can remember, where I had gone with Logan that one time.
Okay. Yeah. You can find that same spot again. Okay. Let's see. The only sticking point would be getting over the wall.
They won't open the gates for me.
Well, they probably would, but I thought you wanted this to be all secret. Like nobody knows what you're
right,
doing.
You're right. Thing. you are right. Is there a spot on the wall that I can maybe like wait and then get over at some point, like without being seen? Like, because at that point I'll cast in, no, can I cast flight from this loot?
I'm pretty sure it at least has levitate, if not fly. Fly too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's got everything.
Either levitate or flight. Probably levitate, since how high are the walls? It has to be like less, like 20 feet.
Yeah, they're probably less than 20 feet, like somewhere between 15 and 20 feet, probably.
Okay. So levitate gets you up to 20 feet. So if I had to walk on it for like a little bit and then yeah. So okay. I'd cast levitate on myself and go up.
And you've just got a puppy, so you can just carry him.
Right.
Yeah, that's easy enough.
And then I will cast, right before I leave the wall, I cast invisibility. So okay. If there's a chance that anybody would see me, I hope that they won't.
Yeah, actually, fly is one of the spells that the pixie has, too.
Oh. Yeah, so. Well, if fly and polymorph are two concentration spells, so...
Oh, that's right.
You won't be able to concentrate on both. Right. Then I have a whole man to carry, and that's not gonna be good. That's not a good situation.
I'm trying to see if how polymorph works. Can she change its shape? Like more than
not once? Again.
No.
No, not unless she casts it again.
Okay. So yeah, that'll be, because once she turns him back into a human for you to talk to him, she won't be able to polymorph him again. Until the morning.
Right. Those are things that we have to worry about later.
Okay.
Those are later problems. Okay.
Sure. Works for me. Just make this up as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tali is all on board with this kind of cloak and dagger stuff. So she's very excited with this scheme to get Miguel out of the town.
So then I'll cast invisibility on myself, and then before I leave the wall. So I assume that I went up, got over the wall, and then cast it before I walked away from the wall, just in case, like, I'm in the middle of the field and then someone on the wall, like, points me out or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. And really, at this hour, the only people up are the few guards that are on duty. Right. So you just wait for them to be on the other side of town on their patrol and just get over the wall, no problem.
Yeah, so I do that. I do have a note if this will make any... if this makes any difference, but both of those spells are coming from the loot. So that means that I'm going to have to bring.
Okay.
So I don't know if that, like, you know, I'm just trying to be honest here because I don't have those spells. So I'm casting them out of the loot.
Yeah. I don't think you'll have a problem. You can just wait until the guards are far enough away. They can't hear you.
Cool. Yeah. So I do that.
Yeah, they don't have, like, super high security here, so it's not too hard.
They've been resting on their laurels because of the witch.
Yeah, and they're more worried about stuff outside of the town getting in. They're not so much worried about what's going on inside the wall.
Right.
All right, so you take Miguel in as a puppy to your picnic spot that you found.
Right.
With your picnic basket.
So I'm gonna ask Dahlia to release him, to, like, undo the polymorph.
Okay.
But I want to do a hold person on him.
Okay.
So I can get, like, just a second before he, like, tries to, like, run or, like, whatever. This is all gonna be fine, right?
Yes. What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. What could possibly go wrong?
All right. Let me roll a saving throw here.
So it's a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. He rolls a 10, which is probably a fail.
Oh, perfect. So she undoes the polymorph, and then I cast hold person.
All right. So he is back in his regular shape, but he is held. Mm-hmm. He's kind of alternating between a look of curiosity and kind of a glare. You can tell he can't really decide whether he should be pissed or happy about what's going on.
And then I start my my enthralling performance.
Oh.
On him. All right. So I just start playing my lyre and singing for him. Don't know if you want me to sing, but
no, I mean, unless you want to sing,
maybe at another
might be good for the ratings if you sing for us. I don't know.
So by performing for at least 1 minute, I can charm humanoids within 60 feet of me, so him. And at the end of the performance, I can do a charisma number of them, which I just need one, and they need to do a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. He gets a 9, so.
Great. On a fail, he is charmed for 1 hour.
All right.
So this happens, like, I guess it takes hold at the very end of the hold person too.
Okay.
So whatever, you know, can happen in 6 seconds, but if I succeed, what else? So he is charmed for 1 hour. So that, what does that mean? A charmed creature cannot attack the charmer, and the charmer, or target the charmer with harmful abilities or magical effects. And I have advantage on any ability checks to interact socially with this creature.
Oh, and technically he had disadvantage on that saving throw, didn't he?
Oh.
Because of your lyre, right?
My lyre, yeah.
So.
And then while charmed, the target idolizes me, hinders others, hinders those opposing me, and avoids violence.
Okay.
And This lasts until the target takes damage, I attack, or if it sees me attacking one of its allies.
Cool. So yeah, you've got him charmed.
So I just set up the picnic and ask for his help or whatever. And,
okay.
and start eating. And then I just want to start asking about him. Like, what is his actual life? The truth of his, about his life.
Okay.
Before all of the killing or what have you. Who is he actually? I mean, the whole for Larissa has her curiosity, you know, is killing her because of the whole bit in the Feywild where, you know, those little creatures of gnomes or whatever they were, you know, had interest in him, and also the nymph was, you know, was like, ugh,
yeah,
about him. So yeah. I just wanted to, you know, who is he?
Okay.
You know, that's my, basically what I want to know.
Well, he basically tells you a pretty similar tale to what he told you before, that, you know, he didn't grow up. He grew up like in the peasant class, and his father was, among other things, a gambler. And won quite a bit of money and kind of squirreled it away, but also incurred debts that he wasn't paying. And eventually men that he owed money to showed up, and that was the end of his father. He was found floating in the harbor. So this was back in Alondria, and but his mother had access to some of the money he'd won, which she used to send Miguel to school when he got older. So he went to the university and studied art, and he considers himself he's very arrogant. He considers himself far beyond average intelligence, far beyond average skill as far as art. He thinks his paintings he did of these people he was torturing were brilliant, and the likes of which no one had ever seen before, and you know, people don't appreciate his genius and all that kind of stuff. And I'll say, you know, with the charm, like part of the magic you've put on him is not only is he charmed by you, but because of, you know, you have this like gourmet meal and you took him out of the stockade and all this, he seems to think that you've got the hots for him too. So he's opening up a bit and telling you things that you suspect he's probably never told anyone before. And you know, you can tell from things that he tells you that he's never been right. I mean, he was the kind of kid that, like, you know, tortured animals for fun and stuff. So, you know, just always been a sociopath kind of person. Mm-hmm. So definitely, in your opinion, probably doesn't seem really redeemable. at least by conventional means, other than completely changing his personality or something. And definitely he doesn't show any remorse. The only remorse he has is that he got caught. and he even sees that as kind of just people don't understand his genius and don't understand what he was trying to do. And he wasn't really trying super hard not to get caught. He wasn't even really concerned with that because he was just so wrapped up in what he was doing and his vision that he wasn't even thinking about the fact that if normal people saw what he was up to, that they would freak out.
Right. Well, I want to ask Dahlia if she's here with.
Yeah. Yeah.
With us. If she's what did the nymph see in him, and what did the other like fey creatures see in him? What can that I know that you know, from what he's said and from what he's been accused of, you know, of the things that he's done and whatever. But they seem, before even talking to him, to just sense something in him. Like, I want to ask her if she's able to sense that as well, and what that is.
Okay, yeah. So she says, yeah, you know, a lot of the Fae have this kind of ability to perceive magic and other things in a way that you don't necessarily. And, you know, she says when she looks at Miguel, she can just see basically that he's not right in the head, that there's something fundamentally flawed within him, and he kind of has this kind of taint, and she basically describes it as basically like an aura. Like, they kind of see this aura around people, and based on the color of it and kind of how it looks, they can kind of tell certain things about a person. And like, Miguel's is kind of this kind of puke yellow color and has these really unsightly veins of black and brown through it, and just his aura is unpleasant to look at, and just at least to her seems to indicate that he's not a very nice person, and would be what some people would call evil or just
right.
Not nice. And as far as the red caps, she knows a little bit about them, and supposedly they are born from like violent and cruel acts, and it's believed that, you know, like, if someone's murdered, like, red caps will actually come up from the blood that's spilled and things like that. So she thinks, as far as them referring to him as the maker, that basically these things he was doing to people in Alandria was probably completely unknown to him, was actually creating red caps because he was murdering and torturing people and stuff. And they kind of feed on that.
Okay. Now, I would ask, does she think that this aura, it's a source of magic? Like, someone put that on him? Or is that just like a thing that people have that you can sense on them? Like, naturally, is it naturally occurring, or is it like a magic?
She says, yeah, everybody has these auras. People, you know, some people have a more noticeable one than others. So someone who's very powerful or who has like a great destiny or something like that will have a more noticeable aura, where like just a normal farmer or something, you know, might not have much of one. So he kind of has more of the aura of like an important person, but his is very dark and twisted. And you know, and she mentions how, you know, for instance, you and your friends have pretty pretty distinct auras, and there's definitely some source of power that you all have, some kind of magical power that isn't common. Mm-hmm. And she believes that probably has something to do with whatever the queen sees in you, that she's interested in you. Probably has something to do with that, but she doesn't really know what it means, except that she hasn't seen it before and it's not something that's common.
Cool. I want to ask him what he thinks of, what his thoughts are on the coming events. What do you my allies wish to turn you in to the hag as payment for her protection on the town. What, you know, what do you think about that?
He says, well, he says, I find this all very, very interesting and disturbing, frankly. I mean, the whole reason that I'm in this situation, I believe, is because I treated people as things, as subjects for my art, without regard to their feelings or lives. And yet I feel, at least in a way, that's what's been done to me And it seems that once one breaks certain rules in the society that we live in, that you're no longer a person anymore. So I frankly find that a little hypocritical, he says. He says, but left as things were in Alondria, I would have been hanged by now or perhaps beheaded. I don't know what this witch is that you're going to hand me over to, but at least maybe there's a chance for something other than the noose or the headman's axe at the end of this for me. So I guess I'll play my cards as I can.
No one who's been given to the witch has been heard from again, and that worries me. I don't know why I have such an interest in you, and maybe it's bigger than that. It's for me. We should deal with this hag, and I'm oversharing that now with him. We should deal with this hag rather than play her games. But I'm only one of many. I'm part of a group, and we have a mission. I certainly don't want to turn you in to the hag, but if I am outvoted, which seems like it is the case, I have no other choice but to accept that. I wanted to know who you were before that, so if there was any chance to clear your name or whatever it is that what you've done in Alondria, if I can possibly help. I see myself as an outcast because of who I am, and then I undo the
your illusion or whatever.
Yes, the illusion. And so he sees, I guess, for the first time, if he hasn't seen me before. I'm very protective of that, or turn off the illusion that just so he can see my full tiefling form, the huge horns pointed upwards, and the tail, and the skin. I'm a tiefling, and I know that there are other tieflings that do live in our society, but I don't feel comfortable showing this to everyone.
He says, yes, I can understand that. There's a lot of people that would not understand what you are. He says, maybe we can make a deal. Would you be interested in some kind of arrangement that's mutually beneficial, if we can come up with one?
A deal? What sort of deal? What is you don't seem to be in a position for making deals, but
he says, well, that's true, and I may not be, but I am a survivor, and it seems like this witch that we keep hearing so much about is a survivor as well. And it could be that I can come to some kind of arrangement with her. As you said, you don't know for sure what happens to the people that are given over to her. Perhaps she immediately kills them and that's the end of it, but perhaps something else happens. And if that's the case, maybe I could ingratiate myself to her so she doesn't kill me or do whatever. And perhaps I could gather information about her, about what she's up to, any weaknesses she might have, things like that. And if I can provide you and your friends with information that is helpful to you in dealing with this witch, perhaps you could let me go on my way. I think it's safe to say that returning to Alondria is not possible for me. the guards all know my face. If I ever set foot in that city again, my life will be forfeit. So I will be forced to go elsewhere, and I will be out of your hair. I'll be out of Alondria's hair, and we can just go our separate ways.
I want to roll an insight check to see if he's on the up and up. If this deal is actually beneficial to me.
Okay.
Am I able to do that?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Not that I'm great at it, but that's a 17.
Oh, wow. I mean, he seems sincere in his desire to make this deal with you. And you think, as far as you can tell, it seems like he would honor it. It also seems kind of, as you think about it, it seems like, you know, you would kind of have all the power in this situation because, what's he really going to do? if you get the information from him and you don't honor your end of the bargain, I mean, what's he really going to do about it? He's going to be in the possession of this witch anyway. And you think he's right as far as returning to Alondria that you know, the city's well guarded and nobody enters the city who isn't under the eyes of the guard. So unless he had some way to magically disguise himself, I mean, there's no way he could really get into the city without them knowing, as far as you know. And you know, you can't teleport into the city or anything like that. So, of course, who knows where he would go or what he would do. And, you know, he might not be pooping in your backyard, but he might be pooping in someone else's.
Right. So, I think this sounds, I'm okay with this. I think this sounds like a good deal.
He says, well, if I could make a suggestion, I would suggest that you keep this from your friends for now. I don't think that they would go for it. Wait until I can bring some useful information back before you let them know the terms of our agreement. That's what I would suggest. Then you have some leverage against them.
Oh. Larissa feels even guiltier because she's already done this much without saying anything to anyone.
Dolly is just watching all this fascinated, by the way. She's just like looking from him to you and back again, just like fascinated by all this.
I will do my best to keep this between us. And I look at Dahlia very pointedly.
Oh, I won't say a word, she says. I don't really talk to the others that much anyway.
So I guess we have a deal.
Excellent, he says. Do you have any idea of how I will be able to get in contact with you once I have something worth sharing?
Dahlia?
Oh my, I don't know.
I say maybe you can go to him.
I suppose I could. Oh, but what if the witch sees me?
Well, you're toast, I guess. You're not supposed to be seen, Dahlia. That's the whole point.
Well, depending how powerful she is, she might be able to see me even if I'm invisible.
Oh, gosh. Well, what if... Ooh, do I know that we're going to spend much more time in this town? I don't know. Oh, God. Because if we just leave for Alondra, it's like, whoops. There's that. How about from the time, I'll give it 3 days, from the time that we hand you over, you have 3 days to find this location right here where we're meeting now, and I'll rendezvous with you here.
Are you telling, is this for Dahlia?
For him.
Oh, for him.
If you are as resourceful as you say you are, you will find your way here, and you will meet me in 3 days' time.
He looks thoughtful, and he says, "Well, I definitely will if I can, but it may not be possible to escape her."
Oh, you can say whatever it is that you want to say to her, to get you out here. I leave that in your hands to figure out how you are going to find your way to me, and I will try to stall my friends for 3 days until you arrive.
So I'll do my best. It's hard to say without knowing who and what this witch is and what she's capable of.
Right. And it might just be for naught, but you know, it's the best you can offer. It's the best I can offer. I don't want you to outright die or kill you, but it is a step to redeeming you.
You and your friends seem to have a lot of magic at your disposal. Isn't there some way you can contact me or something?
Looks over her spell list.
You guys are always talking into that rock. Can you use that?
Well, you're going to have the other end of that rock, and which you don't. There is no way. Because that the other piece of that is all the way in Alondra.
Well, maybe the, I don't know, maybe the, I even hate to say this, but maybe the fiery one, the bitchy one, she might be able to do something.
Fear?
Yes. That one.
Well.
You can tell he doesn't like fear at all.
fear is your least out of everyone in our group, she dislikes you the most, I'll say, and it will be hard for me to convince her to contact you if whatever, but I can try.
Well, you seem pretty good at convincing people of things.
Well, I almost came out and said that it was magic, but I'm not going to say that. Not going to reveal my secrets to him.
Yeah, right.
I spent some time in the Feywild, so I know my way around people. Well, I wanted to also give you at last good meal before basically sending you to your death, to the chopping block.
Well, thank you for that, Seth. I appreciate it.
We've not been treating you well, kindly at all. When we will have to return you to the stockades.
Yes, yes, of course. You're not going to turn me into a dog again, are you? Dolly's like, don't look at me. I can't do it again.
I cannot do that. No.
Not until tomorrow.
That's a now problem, because it used to be a later problem, but now it has become a now problem.
Yeah.
That we have to figure out how to get you back into the town without being seen.
Yeah. Dahlia's got fly.
Right. But. I mean, yeah, and I can fly myself, and we can do that. It's just a matter of not being seen on the way to the stockade.
Yeah. Yeah, the trickiest part will be getting past the wall and the guards that are manning the wall. Once you do that, it probably shouldn't be too hard to get them back to the stockade without being seen, because they're just not really... I mean, it's like the middle of the night right now, so...
Cool.
People aren't awake.
Well, I say to him, is there anything else you'd like to share with me before we head back?
He says, no, I'm quite content with this delicious meal.
You're welcome.
Thank you, he says.
Fear made it herself.
He like chokes. It's like, well, hopefully it's not poisoned.
No, not at all. I hope it isn't, because I also ate.
He's like, well, I figured she had to be good at something other than running her mouth.
Watch it. She's still my friend.
Yes, yes. Well,
I am not afraid to take you down right here for her. I say, just suddenly getting all...
Of course, he says. Defensive.
Yeah.
We'll just agree to disagree about your friend. How about that?
Sure. So, let's head over. Does Dahlia speak Elvish? Do I know that?
She does not. She speaks Common and Sylvan.
Oh, damn. Any chance I would have learned Sylvan in the Feywild? No.
I mean, you definitely could have. What did you choose for your languages that you know?
Well, I have Infernal because of my race.
Yeah.
Elvish and Common.
Okay.
So I'm not sure whether the courtier or something gave me extra languages. I'd have to look at it again. Those are the only languages I have listed.
I mean, you could just always go out of earshot from him if you wanted to talk to her privately.
Yeah, I just don't want him to beat feet.
Oh, yeah.
And just leave. Yeah, so the courtier lets me choose two languages, which I guess I've picked the first, but not the second of them.
Yeah, because you probably... How many did you get as a bard? I'm sure you got some as a bard, didn't you? Maybe you didn't pick either of them.
Guess not. I'm an incomplete bard.
you choose three skills.
Yeah.
Oh, I get... Maybe languages comes from your race. I don't see anything about languages here.
Yeah, from race and background is where mostly languages come from.
So let's see what you got as a tiefling. You probably got the Infernal, right?
I got Infernal from being a tiefling. And then I think I chose the one.
Yeah.
The Elvish as per my family's.
Yeah. Language. So yeah, it seems like you have another language you could pick.
Yay.
Say it's Sylvan if you want.
Right. So then I want to speak to her in Sylvan.
Okay.
And say, the moment that he seems to want to flee, once you cast fly on him over the wall, you let the spell go and let him fall however high he is.
She just starts cackling. Like, she just thinks that's the most hilarious thing. She's like, oh, I almost hope he does. Miguel's looking very suspiciously at the two of you. He's like, what are you laughing about?
Oh, nothing.
He does not look convinced.
Yeah, so I want to do that. I want to... it's time to go, I say, and I start packing.
Okay.
And then I head... I say for us to head back.
All right. So you're going to have Dahlia cast fly on him?
Yeah. We didn't go an hour from the place, right?
No, you're not that far away.
Yeah. So I want to also cast fly on myself from the lyre.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
So I'll cast Fly on myself, because I already did Levitate, so Levitate is gone for the day.
Yeah.
So I'll cast Fly on myself, and then she can fly, and then if she will cast Fly on him.
Okay. Yeah.
And we would approach as quietly as possible, and then just fly us over. And then we'll just fly over to the stockade.
All right. So make a stealth check with advantage, since you're flying, and I will do the same for the two of them.
Oh my god. Maybe she can put herself invisible. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's right. She can be invisible, so I guess I don't really have to worry about Dahlia.
Oh my goodness, yes. Like I roll a 19 and I get a plus 5.
Nice. And Miguel got a 17, so you guys get into town, get him back to the stockade. It doesn't look like anybody noticed you.
Cool. So then, how are we gonna get his head and hands back in there without?
Oh yeah,
that's another now problem. I say to him, "Do you know how to pick a lock?"
He says, "Actually, I do, but unless you have the proper tools."
I take a hairpin.
Okay.
And I give it to him.
He's like, "Well, this isn't ideal, but I might be able to make it work."
And I say, "I'm sure I believe in your in your skills," and I give him inspiration.
Oh, okay. What is that?
So he takes a D8.
Oh yeah, well that does it. Yeah, he's able to pop this little padlock open. That kind of holds the stock closed,
and then I put my hand out for the pin again.
He sighs and gives you the pin, and like puts his head and his hands in the thing so you can lock it.
I lock it, and then I smack his butt, and off I go. back to the tavern. I want to like veer towards Logan's.
Okay.
Then leave a little eau de demon perfume scent on his door.
Okay.
And then head towards the bar.
All right.
I gotta dot my I's and cross my T's.
All right. So speaking of Logan, you had like lunch with him earlier that day, right?
Yeah.
So I thought of some things I could tell you that came up while you guys were having lunch that you would know. So basically you kind of know, because you and Fear actually talked to him when you guys first got into town, about he was all wanting to hire you guys to take him to Alondria and back so he could trade. Right. And while you guys were having your lunch, and after you'd kind of told him this story of your journey and all of that, you'd asked him, you know, what he's been up to the last couple of weeks and how things were in town. And he started talking about how, you know, things were pretty normal for the first week or so. But as time wore on, people started discussing what they were going to do about this next sacrifice and started debating about who they would send, because there weren't any obvious answers as far as who to send. And, you know, eventually a few people like Carl and some others started offering up his name as a quote outsider. And you can tell he's very, he tries to hide it. He tries to play it off like he's just mad, but you can tell that he's actually pretty hurt by the fact that some of the villagers wanted to send him, and you know, he's lived here for 5 years now. He feels like he's become a part of the community. And so he was pretty upset that at least a few of the villagers don't feel that way, just probably because he's a halfling, he's not human. And you know, he says that, you know, some of the villagers did stand up for him, people like Verna. But you know, there's a disturbing number of villagers who really didn't say anything either way, who, you know, didn't stand up for him and didn't necessarily say that he should be sent away either. But, you know, you know, like he kind of said to you before, he says, you know, I know who my friends are now, you know, and so he's talking about this, and you can tell he's a little bitter about it. And he mentions, you know, the offer he made you guys, that he was going to pay you guys 300 gold to take him to a laundry and back. And he says, you know, I know that there's a little misunderstanding. You thought I was just going to pay you 300 gold just to take me to the city and didn't realize I wanted you to bring me back. And he's like, you know, after everything that's happened, he says, you know, really, the next time you guys go back to Alandria, I'd really like to go with you. I will pay you the 300 gold to take me. He says, but I think it will just be a one way trip. He says, I've kind of had it with these people. You know, I was originally thinking that maybe we could reestablish trade with Alandria, and maybe I would kind of take charge of that. But I think I'd rather just go back to the city and take my chances there. And if or when trade does open up to other places, I'd be happy to investigate that. But I don't really want to live somewhere where at least some of the people don't value me and don't consider me part of the community just because I'm not human or whatever the reason is, or just because I haven't lived here long enough. So yeah, that's kind of the gist of it.
Oh God. Well, I would say to Logan not to take it personally. There are people will say and do things that sometimes they don't mean to in times of desperation. This is one such time. To find someone to accuse and send basically to their death is a serious matter, and everyone won't like you, and not personally you, but no one really, you know, not everyone is light. Even the mayors, I'm sure there are people who have their opinions of them, but you know, they tolerate them for whatever reason, but you have your friends here and you have established yourself here. And, if you do become the head, you know, take charge of the trade, I'm sure people will see you in a different light and people will start respecting you for who you are.
He says, perhaps, but there's a large world out there.
Yeah.
I don't need to be limited to this single little backwater town. And he says, I think actually Verna Applegate would do very well handling this end of the trade with Alandria, and maybe I can handle the other end in Alandria itself. And I'm sure Verna and I could make a lot of money.
Yes. I wouldn't want you to lose your friends here. And, you know, if you were to just find some other town or some other place to move to, just because it's more, I don't know, lucrative, is that the word?
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe you just set up shop in Alandria and make trade between the village. And I think you can play a... You will play a great part in this village, you know, becoming part of the community again.
Says maybe you're right. He says, I have noticed maybe the fact that I am a bit of an outsider, maybe it gives me a perspective others don't have, but I have noticed in recent years that there has been a change in at least some of the people here in the village. Carl is the perfect example. It's almost like this deal we've made with this witch has twisted some of the people somehow.
And I'm sure it did. Hags are not, or witches, however you want to name her, are not good creatures to deal with. At least from what I've heard. So now you have you're part of the Feywild. That makes you exotic.
Yes, yes, there is that. Not sure what that means, but
now you're protected by a nymph. So hopefully I hope that everything works out for you.
Says well, dear. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I give him a kiss on the cheek.
Okay. He likes that.
Retroactively.
He blushes. All right. And then I think you said something about you wanted to do something with the dude in your ring.
Yes.
Whom you haven't heard from for a few days.
He's been sitting, you know, he's been sitting there listening to everything that's happening. And I'm just like,
he's just eating TV dinners and
hello. I need this timeshare because in case I get, you know, I die.
It's like, what do you want?
Well, hello. First of all, my name is Larissa. Let's start with simple pleasantries, shall we?
He says, I don't remember my name. We've already been over this.
Right. Do you remember anything at all?
About what? I remembered
about your about the what? Where were you before you were here in this place?
I don't remember. I just remember being here. I remember talking to your very annoying friend who was next door for a while. He's very loud.
Okay.
Still smells like bong smoke in here.
I'm going to try something. And it might be for naught, but you know, I'm in the mood for trying things today. And I'm going to cast a spell magic on this ring.
Okay. That's interesting.
So I
make a charisma check, I guess.
I believe that is a plus +4 for me.
I gotta look this up. I don't even know what's gonna happen.
Wow. Of all times, this is the time to roll a nat 20.
Nice.
Wow. So I will be 24 if it
okay.
If it matters. But it probably matters because of, you know, high set DCs and stuff.
Yeah. So you're casting it on the ring, right?
I am. I am casting because, I mean, I cannot target him.
Right.
If I can target him, I would target him, but I can either do one creature or one object.
Yeah.
So I'll just do the object.
Is the ring invisible on your hand or is it visible?
It's visible on me.
Okay. So you cast a spell. You feel it kind of take hold on the ring. And as you're casting it, this guy's like, what the hell are you doing? And he like cuts off in mid-sentence. It seems you don't think you've permanently dispelled the ring, but it seems to have suppressed the magic, at least for now.
Suppress the ring's magic, like my connection with him?
Yeah, like the ring is not functioning at the moment because you dispelled it, but you think it's just temporary.
Oh well, I say. And I just... At least he'll be quiet for however long that time. And I just do one of these, like, you know, wipe my brow, like, at least I did not break it.
Dolly is like, what were you trying to do?
Well, there is a man. An old man, grumpy old man, in this ring. And I show her the ring. He's trapped in there.
Oh my, that sounds horrible.
I think, do I understand the ring? Do I understand what, yeah, how it works?
Yeah.
So I say, I think his soul is trapped in there.
Oh, how unusual.
Yeah. I say Marcos has one like it. And when he died, his soul went in there. And then we helped his soul back onto his body. We don't have this man's body. And if I die, I should like to have a spot for my soul to be in.
Well, we just have to find his body then, Dahlia says.
Or, putting him in some other corpse. I don't know.
If that would work.
Have another body to live in. Live a new life. I don't know. He doesn't seem to remember anything from before seeing me. So,
Miguel might be a corpse pretty soon.
Oh, my goodness.
Waste not, want not. That's what I always say.
Don't say that.
Well, okay. I don't say that. I heard a satyr say that, but I think it's true.
Oh, no. I'll say, I guess it's time to sneak back into my room.
Oh, that sounds like fun. She turns invisible.
Oh, no. Don't leave me here.
I'm right here. You feel her like grabbing your ear.
I can't. I say I can't make myself invisible again, nor can I levitate myself to my window or fly there, unless fly actually lasts for 1 hour, so, or 10 minutes, if 10 minutes have already passed, I think.
Been 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that how long it lasts?
10 minutes? Yeah. 10 minutes. Fly for 10 minutes.
Well, it shouldn't be too hard to sneak into your room because everybody's asleep. So,
yeah.
I think the only person that might be awake is maybe one of the other player characters, but I don't know that any of them are. So, I'll just say you're able to sneak in.
Unless fear is waiting for me up in the middle of the night. But, yeah.
Yes, this will be funny if Danielle watches this and hears what Miguel said about her. She'll be pissed.
Yes. She'll
be like, I knew I didn't like that guy.
Oh my goodness. Is the I guess when we went back to the town, the tree is still, prominent here.
And yes.
Do we see the nymph around or not?
No, you don't see her. She's probably in the tree, you imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a oopsie on our end to make sure that, when we're making those deals with the Fae, that
I was so afraid that Danielle, that fear was going to like examine the sapling and try to figure stuff out and maybe figure out what's going on. But luckily she didn't.
I mean, you could have not made it more obvious than the tree, like the sapling grows from out of the tree and here you go, plant this over there. I'm like, this seems good. This is a good idea.
Yeah, I got to remember that next time someone's like, what's your favorite story from D&D? Like, that would definitely be it. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was great. And the look on everybody's faces. Like as I was describing what was happening and people were figuring out before I was even done describing it, what was going on, and everybody's like, and it was funny because I think it was Brett was like going, oh no, oh no. And I think it was maybe you were like, oh yes.
Yes. And now we have turf wars.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that night when you go to sleep, you have some pretty vivid dreams. And we'll just say you're kind of having these dreams all the time now. And it's basically, or at least while you're in the village, you do. And it's basically some of your memories from your time in Faerie, like coming back to you kind of in dreams. And yeah, you probably wake up pretty disturbed from these dreams because you remember now that your time in Faerie wasn't all great. And it was very different there because here, I mean, I guess I don't know for sure, but I've been assuming that Larissa is a fairly attractive person, whether in her disguise form or her normal form.
Yeah.
And the whole tiefling thing, for probably a lot of people just makes her more exotic, you know, and doesn't make her less attractive by any stretch. So she's kind of used to, you know, she walks in a room and everybody notices her, you know, she's used to kind of having that power over people. Mm-hmm. But when you were in Faerie, it was very different. You remember now that many of the Fae, especially the nobility, have a pretty low opinion of humans and other mortal non-Fae races. And in fact, they actually, you know, most of the humans and other, you know, kind of mortal races that you saw in Fae, most of them were actually enslaved by the Fae. And there's kind of like two general types of Fae. There's like the kind of unseelie, more kind of evil, dark and disturbing Fae. And then there's the seelie, more not necessarily good, but less evil. And with the seelie, it was kind of more like indentured servitude. Mm-hmm. These were people who made a deal with a fairy and weren't careful enough with the terms of the deal. And so it's like they kind of got themselves into it, but yet, I mean, they're still slaves at the end of the day. You know, they don't have free will. They can't leave and stuff like that. Where with the unseelie fairies, it's more like they torment them and torture them, and they don't try, like basically the seelie don't think of them as slaves, even though they kind of are. They try to make it seem like it's more civilized than that. But yeah, so people were looked down upon by the Fae, and you being part human, which they don't think much of, and part fiend, which they think even less of, you were definitely kind of like I don't know how you would say, like a second class citizen or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you were not the prettiest person in the room. You were not respected in that way. And you were kind of treated like Cinderella, basically. Like,
yeah.
You know, with their stepmothers, you know, like they had you doing all this menial work and they always talked down to you and treated you like you were ugly and stupid and clumsy and all this stuff. And so there's probably at least a part of you that is not super happy about these memories coming back. You know, it's like, I'd almost rather not remember this.
Yeah, not at all. If anything, it kind of like solidifies her fear to show her true self in public.
Okay.
It's kind of like I was treated that way by them because of what I looked. I was half fiend, which, you know, half human, but then half fiend, which to them is just like disgusting and whatnot. So, I think Larissa takes that very to heart. Like, she doesn't want to feel like she, you know, disgusted, like, you know, like she is, I guess obnoxious, if you will.
To other
people, you know.
And that was mainly the noble Fae. The more non-noble Fae, you know, they were pretty nice to you because they weren't treated much better than you were. Because, you know, it's kind of like elves in a way. It's like, if you're not an elf, you're nothing. And that's kind of how they were. Even with the non-nobles, it's like, well, yeah, you're a fairy, but you're not the right type of fairy. So you're still not good enough, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Dahlia was actually someone, like, she was considered part of the nobility. I mean, she was really low rank within the nobility. But she was someone, like, you remember now, that she really was your friend truly, you know, and she never treated you like that. And she, in a lot of ways made things a lot more bearable for you than they would have been otherwise, because she was always kind of looking out for you and yeah. So, and it kind of, it actually kind of reduced her reputation in the court a little bit, that, but she didn't care. She was always kind of a rebel. So yeah, you know, so there's that. Cause I think I made one or two offhand comments about the Fae like having slaves. So I wanted you to kind of know how that worked. And that's kind of a big thing. And that's one of the reasons why people don't go into the fairy forest, because it's kind of common knowledge that, you know, if you make a deal with a fairy, more likely than not, you're going to end up, you know, their footman for the rest of your life or something. Sure. Right. Cause there's always fine print in the deal that you didn't realize about. And it's like, oh crap. Now I'm indentured to this fairy for 100 years and I'm only going to live another 30. So,
yep. It's like going into the nine hells, making a deal, not, right. You know, and then your soul is forfeit forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. And I think, in some way, because Larissa's mother is part, in some way, of the nobility in Elandria, she felt like she wanted to be part of nobility, even though she did feel, obviously she had this kin, you know, this companionship and camaraderie with the other Fae that were treated just like her. But she was kind of envious of those above, you know, because in Elandria, you know, her mother is that, you know, but she doesn't treat, you know, people that way. And she kind of, I guess, in some way was expecting to be treated like that. But this wasn't the place, you know, like this is not, she's not a Fae. She's not from here. This isn't her place. But she felt very... she felt jealous of that. And I think she wanted to have some sort of status, which is like, which is why she dresses extravagantly, you know, in a way to impress and to sort of mimic the Fae royalty. You know, because I'm assuming the Fae nobles are, you know, very extravagant and
ridiculous.
Exactly. So Larissa kind of like copies that to an extent, you know, to just like, well, if they, you know, if they're that way, then maybe if I myself, you know, if I make myself similar to them, maybe I will be accepted.
Yeah,
I think that was her thought through her time in the, you know, growing up in the Feywild, until, you know, she lost her memories of most of the things, but she still kind of kept that in the back of her mind to sort of, you know, be fabulous.
Always be fabulous.
Always be fabulous, no matter the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, now that things are coming back to you, that there's, I mean, fairy's kind of a mess. Because you have a relatively small number of them that are the nobility that lord over everyone. And then you've got all these, non-noble Fae and other creatures that live in Fairy, like, you know, that, it's very much like, Narnia, in that the animals like are intelligent and talk, and, you know, they're even more looked down upon than the non-noble Fae. Like, they're even a step down from them. So there's far, far more beings that are oppressed than there are that are, you know, living the life at the top of the hierarchy. Right. And, it's a mess, a lot of injustice. And it's kind of a paradox, because the noble Fae see themselves as very civilized and sophisticated, and they claim that humans learn civilization from them and blah, 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 blah. But yet they do some things that are very barbaric and uncivilized.
Right.
But they're kind of blind to it. Like, they've convinced themselves that, oh, it's not like that. So it's kind of a load of horse crap, really.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting because like in Alandria, slavery is illegal and it's seen as completely uncivilized. Like, you know, if they encounter another city or something and they have slavery, like it's instantly like, oh, they're barbarians kind of thing. So it's kind of weird because you came from this place that was in a lot of ways much more enlightened. But when you were in Faerie, it was like you went from being the lady of the house to one of the servants.
Yeah.
So it's this kind of weird thing. And yet the Fae think that they're superior.
Right.
But they're really not.
Wow.
I guess they're superior in lifespan. They've got that going for them. But that's probably why they're kind of backwards, right?
I love that. That's just the, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, yeah, I don't know.
I do love the complex society.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, I don't know how much Larissa cares about any of that now that she's out of it. Might be just something like, I don't ever want to go back there again kind of thing.
No, I mean, she's still kind of interested in, like, meeting the queen, you know, like that. Yeah. This whole thing, like, the queen, it has interest in her. She's like, well... Maybe this is her time, but you know, she doesn't want to be part of the part of this whole servitude system ever again.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah. If she meets other Fae that kind of look down on her, by the time that she sees the queen, she would definitely flaunt, you know, her way off to the throne. And just like, you know, dart looks at them as she is invited over to the court of the queen. But
awesome.
That's another story for another time.
Yeah.
Another time if we even like, you know, make it that far.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I could easily see at some point in this campaign having some kind of arc with Larissa and Faerie and all that stuff. Like, if you wanted to, yeah. That could be fun.
Yes. My gosh, all the crazy stuff we'll get down to in the Faerie Wild.
Yeah. Right.
Crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, as a glamour bard, you can use a lot of their own tricks against them now. So
yes, yes, I like the sixth level shenanigan where I can cast command as a bonus action.
Yeah,
my gosh,
that'll be useful.
Yeah, I mean it's balanced in a way that it competes with other bonus actions. For the bard, like if I wanted to inspire someone, but then we have Marcos who is also a bard, so so I was thinking that Larissa now can use her other ability. I've tried to use them before, but nope. Seemed like everyone was just like, I'll take the temporary hit points, but I'm not moving.
Yeah.
I think, what was that? Mantle of Inspiration. That's the one where, like, they gain temporary hit points and also have the ability to move up to their speed anywhere they want without incurring attacks of opportunity, which is pretty cool, to have, to kind of, like, rearrange yourselves on the map.
Yeah,
you know, for free. But people have not taken that bait. But
well, I hope at least once or twice in this campaign to have more kind of dungeon crawl stuff. Mm-hmm. When we do stuff like that, we would use a grid and everything. So that'll probably be a lot more obviously useful when there's a grid and people can see the positioning and be like, oh, I could move over there and not get attacked.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a super cool ability.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole glamour bard class is pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I dig it.
Wow.
Yeah, if I played a bard, it'd be a tough decision between a glamour or a lore bard.
Mm-hmm. It'd be hard. I did play a lore bard before, and it was actually very useful when it came to that sixth level thing where you can actually pick spells from another class.
Yeah, yeah.
So that became very, very handy when, when it makes your utility belt just expand that much more.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because it doesn't have any class restriction.
Yeah.
But it has a level restriction. So, for example, at that level, you'll be able to cast third level spells, but that means you can gain some of the third level spells that the paladin has.
Yeah.
Paladin won't be able to get that until like 11th level. Something like that. You know? I really liked from that, like the aura of vitality is the one that you can like heal people with a bonus action, you know, like 2d6 for an entire minute. So that it equals to like 20d6 of healing.
Awesome.
That you can do with one spell.
Yeah.
You know, obviously over time, but it's pretty awesome and it's some, you know, I loved it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't cool wait stuff. Until we get to 10th level and then choose, you know, get to choose from other classes and see what interests me at that point.
Yeah, yeah, because you could take from anything.
Yeah.
You could go all kinds of different directions.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome, man. Well, was there anything else you wanted to do with the vignette today?
No. I think we covered everything. I thought we were going to just focus on the one, but I like that that we, you know, touched on on Logan and then the wizard, which still is beyond me. I don't know what to do with him. I'm trying to see if he ever remembers anything or whatever, or how I can help him, which really is helping me to get him out. I'm like, I got this ring, but it's occupied. So
yeah, fun times. There are so many balls in the air right now with this campaign. I love it.
Yes. Yes. Also, awesome picture of Petunia.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I thought that she looked really awesome.
Yeah.
That picture.
Yeah, I really like that. Well, all right, man. That's all I've got, pretty much.
All right.
So that was a lot of fun. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for episode 236 of Game Master's Journey. If you'd like to get a hold of me, there are a lot of great ways to do so. You can email me, gamemastersjourney@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter, @LexStarwalker. Call my voicemail, 951-GMJ-LEX1. That's 951-465-5391. You can find all that information and more in the show notes. You can find those show notes at starwalkerceos.com/GameMastersJourney. You can also find links to connect with our community on our forum, Google+, and Discord, and there you can network with other listener GMs. If you enjoy Game Master's Journey and you'd like to help support the show, you can find all the ways to do so at starwalkerstudios.com/support. I even have options that don't cost any money. The best way you can support the show and my RPG endeavors is to check out my latest self-published D&D supplement, Relics of Power. You can find that at starwalkerceos.com/store. And I really appreciate everyone who's checked out the new supplement. I hope that you're all enjoying it. I hope that you have a chance to play your favorite RPG this week. I hope you have a chance to run your favorite RPG. I'll be back soon with another episode of Game Master's Journey. Until then, game on.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts.
This episode's music, courtesy of Cloudwalker, Transboy, Renfield, Stanko, and Ish. See the show notes for more details at starwalkerstudios.com/GameMastersJourney.